Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom, welcome back to today's Daf, which is Yuma Lamed Vav. We begin right on top of the Amid. Says the Gemara, Man Shamasli, De Omar, Bein Ha'ulam, Velam Ezbeach Tzofen. Let's go back to the Mishnah for a moment, where we learned that the Kohen Gadol would approach his par. This was the par that he himself would pay for. It would provide a kapara for himself and his family. The Mishnah tells us the par was situated Bein Ha'ulam, Velam Ezbeach. So it was in the area between the Mizbeach and the Ulam, which is really the entranceway to the Hechel. That's where the par was standing. That's where the Kohen Gadol would go to do the vidui, to confess, on that par. And of course, at that very location, he would also do the shechita on that par. Now we know that karbonis, kachay, kachim, need to be shechted b'tzofen. Pasuk says, Al yerach ha-mizbeach tzofoyna lefnei Hashem. So that's why he's going to have to do shechita on his chatas, b'tzofen. Now, what constitutes tzofen? We have three shittas coming up in a brisa. And the Mishnah, which describes the location of this par as being between the ulam and the mizbeach, of course, on the tzofen side of the Azara, but between the ulam and the mizbeach, in accordance with whose shita is that being said? Who holds that you can do the shechita on kachay kachim at that point in the Azara? Says the Gemara, Man Shamas Le De Amar Bein Ha'ulam V'lam Mizbeach Tzofen. Who is the shita? Who is this Man De Amar that we're following? That says Bein Ulam V'lam Mizbeach is considered Tzofen and is kosher for the shechita of kachay kachim. Apparently, it's Rabbi Eliezer B'Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Eliezer ben Shimon holds that the area between the Ulam and Mizbeach is considered a makim ro'i for shechitas kachay kachim. Rabbi Eliezer ben Rabbi Shimon, the Sani, we learned in the Brice, Ezehu Tzofen. What constitutes Tzofen with respect to shechitas karbonis? Now let's just stop for a moment. We go into the Azara. We enter from Mizrach, going towards the Hechel, which is at Ma'arav. We see the Mizbeach right in the middle. And there is an imaginary line running through the Azara, east to west. On the right side of that boundary would be the Tzofen side of the Azara. On the left would be the Dharam side. And further north, further to Marav would be the Hechel, followed by the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Of course, the beginning of the Hechel structure is called the Ulam, the anteroom, the antechamber, which takes you into the Hechel. Actually, there's a corner which is called Beis HaChalifos, that's the right corner of the Ulam, where they would hide their knives. Actually, says Chalif is in Arabic is a knife. The question is, when the Torah says that the carbon is meant to be Nishchat, Al Yerach HaMizbeach, Tzofoyna, Lifnei Hashem, three different ways to describe the precise location for Shechitas Kachay Kachim. Yerach HaMizbeach is referring to the leg, literally, the Yerach, the thigh, the foot, the back of the Mizbeach. Because you see, as Rashi explains, the ramp up to the Mizbeach, which was on the left, on the Dorim of the Mizbeach, that was considered Pnei HaMizbeach, the face of the Mizbeach, the head of the Mizbeach, the front. Yerach HaMizbeach is directly opposite that, on the other side. That was the Tzofen facing wall of the Mizbeach. That's called Yerach HaMizbeach. One shita, Rabbi Yosef Bar Yehuda holds, Yerach HaMizbeach Tzofen Lefnei Hashem is referring to that area between the Tzofen facing wall of the Mizbeach, which is the Yerach HaMizbeach, the back of the Mizbeach, and the Tzofen wall of the Azara. So only that area, that location, is considered Makayim Ro'i for Shechitas Kachay Kachim. That's Rabbi Yosef Bar Yehuda. Rabbi Eliezer Bar Shimon adds another area as well. Not only can you do Shechita alongside the Mizbeach, between the Mizbeach and Tzofen, but you can proceed to Ma'arav as well. And you can do the Shechita in that area which is considered between the Ulam and the Heichal, between the Ulam and the Mizbeach, provided that it is on the Tzofen side of the Azor. Rebbe will add a third location as well. Not only are those locations Roy, but we can add even the area upon entry to the Azor. Right when you enter the Azor, which is called the Makim for the Drisas Ragli Yisrael, Makim for Drisas Ragli Kayhanim. That's also Kasha Vashchitas Kachi Kashim, provided it's on the right side of the Azorah, in the Tzofen of the Azor. So we actually have three possible locations. One, alongside the actual Mizbeach, Al Yerecha Mizbeach, that's a Rezer Yehuda. The area between the back of the Mizbeach and the Tzofen wall of the Azorah. Rabbi Zeb Shimon adds to that, he says, you can proceed further to Marav, and that location is also kosher for Shechitas Kachi Kachim, because it is on the Tzofen side of Mizbeach, of the Azorah, and it's Lifnei Hashem, so it's actually closer to the Heichal. So that makes up for the fact that it's not directly alongside the Mizbeach. Rebbe will add a third location. As you enter the Azorah, that location is kosher as well, because that's considered Tzofena. And it's somewhat connected to the Mizbeach, to the Yerach Mizbeach. It's on that side of the Mizbeach, and therefore it's kosher as well. All Shitas would agree that once you go further west, to the Beis HaChalifas area, that area is considered pasul, because that Makim doesn't really have a clear, unobstructed view of the Mizbeach. So that Makim is not considered Ro'i for Shechitas Kachi Kachi. So let's see the Brisa inside. Actually, let's start the Gemara again. The Mishnah tells us that the Par was situated between Ulam and Mizbeach, and that's where the Shechita took place. Man Shamasle, the Omar ben Ulam ben Mizbeach Tzofen. Who is this man, the Omar, who considers that to be Tzofen with respect to the Mokim Haro'i L'Shechitas Kachi Kachi, says the Gemara, Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimoni. The Sanya, Ezehu Tzofen, what constitutes Tzofen in this context? Mikir shom Mizbeach Tzfaini, the space, the area, which is extends from the Kir Mizbeach Tzfaini, the northern facing wall of Mizbeach, va'ad Kosel Azor, up until the Kosel Azor, meaning the Tzfain wall of the Azor, u'keneged kol Mizbeach kulo Tzfain, only alongside that area, alongside the actual Mizbeach, the Tzfain, that's considered Yerech HaMizbeach Tzfain, Al Pnei Hashem, Divrei Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda. So he holds, you can only do Shechita right alongside the Mizbeach, between the Mizbeach and Tzofen. Rabbi Lez, Rabbi Shimon Moisev, he adds, Af Bein Ho'ulam V'Mizbeach. Not only can it be done alongside the Mizbeach, you can even move closer to the Heichal, as long as you're on the right side of the Azorah, on the Tzofen portion of the Azorah. Rabbi Moisev, Af Mokem Drisas Ragla Kehanim. V'Af Mokem Drisas Ragla Yisrael. He allows Shechita for Kachim Kachim to be done at the entry point. As you enter the Azorah, the Makim for Drisas Yisrael, Makim for Drisas Kehanim, even though it's so far away from the Heichal and not actually alongside the Mizbeach. Because it's still considered Yerach Mizbeach Tzofen of Nesha. Aval min HaChalifas V'lefnim HaKol Moedim Shepasel. But past the Ulam, between the Beis HaChalifas and the Azorah wall, and further beyond that, it's certainly out of range. It's not a mokim which is directly opposite the Mizbeach. And if all agree, it's not a mokim for Shechitas Kachi Kachi. So you have three shitas as to the exact location. Our Mishnah, which allows you to do the Shechita between the Ulam and the Mizbeach, Lema Rabbi Elazar Barab Shimoni, Veloy Rabbi. Perhaps it's in line with Rabbi Elazar, not Rabbi. Because only Rabbi Elazar holds. You could do Shechita up in that area. Says Zigmar, what do you mean? I feel the tame of Rebbe. It certainly could be in line with Rebbe. Hashta the Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda Moisev. Look, if Rebbe's adding another location to Rabbi Yosi Yehuda, not only the area directly alongside the Mizbeach, even the first section as you enter the Azor is kosher, Adar Rabbi Lazar of Shimon Loi Moisev? Don't you think he's adding to Rabbi Lazar of Shimon as well? What does Gemara mean? If we see that according to Rebbe, you can do Shechita so far away from the Heichal, at such a distance from the Lifnei Hashem concept, as you enter the Azorah. That's also fine. Then of course you could do the Shechita in the area that Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon was describing, between the Ulam and Mizbeach, which is actually closer to the Hechel. It's more Lifnei Hashem. So when Rebbe came to add that first section of the Azorah, he was just building upon the previous Shittas on Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda, on Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon. He agreed to that. He was coming to add a third zone as well. So when the Mishnah says that the power was between Ulam and Mizbeach, of course it's in line with Rebbe, who allows Shechita to be done there. So again, Hashad Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda Moisef, he's coming to add on Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda. Ad Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon loy Moisef, don't you think he's coming to add to Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon? Of course he allows that area as well. Ben Ulam and Mizbeach is certainly mutar according to Rebbe. So what do you mean the Mishnah doesn't follow Rebbe? Anan hochika amrinan. We simply meant to say as follows. If the Mishnah would be in line with Rebbe, why does he do the Shechita so close to the Hechel, where there's always a chance of a bezoyin, perhaps the animal will emit waste, marbitz kelolim. It's disrespectful for the Hechel. Why doesn't he bring it closer to the entrance of the Azorah, to the exterior part of the Azorah, further away from the Hechel? If we're following Rebbe, who allows Shechita to take place so far away from the Eichel, nuk me b'kul azora. Let him position the animal at the other side of the azora, the farthest possible point from the Eichel. Apparently, we're not going with Rebbe. And that's why we have to place it near the Eichel, between Ulam and Mizbeach. Says in 1 second, Elamai, so what are you proposing? Rebbe Elazar ben Shimon, that the Mishnah follows Rebbe Elazar ben Shimon, that's why you're doing the Shechita between Ulam and Mizbeach. Why do we insist on placing it so close to the Hechel, where it might cause disrespect? Bring it out a bit more between the Mizbeach and the wall of the Azorah, which even Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon considers a suitable location for Shechita. Because remember, everybody agrees to Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda. You can do the Shechita between the actual Mizbeach and itself and the wall of the Azorah. That's actually the preferred Malkim. That's the actual Yerach Mizbeach. So the same kasha can be applied to Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon. Fine. The Mishnah says you can do it between Ulam and Mizbeach because Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon allows it. But he certainly allows between Mizbeach and the wall. So push it back. Bring it away from the Eichel for the sake of the covet of the Eichel. And do the Shechita between Ulam, between Mizbeach and the wall of the Azorah. Apparently there's another factor to consider. Elamai islachomema. So you must say, the reason why we don't push it back, the reason why we do it as close as possible to the Hechel, is to account for the Kohen Gadol's weakness on that day. Elamai islachomema, mishum chusha the Kohen Gadol. We want to conserve his energy. He's fasting, he's working all day. And that's why we bring it as close as possible to the Hechel, to shorten his trip when he's going to have to bring the dam to the Hechel, to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. We want to make it easier for him. So although, in principle, you can do the Shechita between Mizbeach and wall, that's actually the more preferred area. The reason why you bring it closer to the Hechel, to make it easier for the Kohen Gadol. If that's the case, once you introduce this new concept of Chusha the Kohen Gadol, the Rebbe Nami, then you have a teretz on Rebbe as well. The Mishnah could be in line with Rebbe, who allows the Shechita to take place anywhere in the Azorah, anywhere in the Tzafon Azorah, even at the entrance of the Azorah. The question was, if so, why do we place the par between Ulam and Mizbeach? You know why? The Rebbe Nami, Mishum Chush, the Kohen Gadol. We want to conserve his energy. We're concerned about his weakness. And therefore, we bring it as close as possible to the Hechel. If that's the case, you have no raya any longer that the Mishnah follows one Shechita over the other. It can be in line with Rebbe, it can be in line with Rebbe Zeb Shimon. And the only reason why you bring it so close to the Hechel is to account for the Chosh of the Kohen Gadol. So conclusion, we had three Shechitas regarding the Mokim for Shechitas Kachi Kachim, which the Torah describes as being Al Yerach Chamiz Beyach Tzafoyin El Fnei Hashem. The question is, which word do we emphasize? Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda holds, Yerach Mizbeach means literally alongside the end of the Mizbeach, between the Tzafan of the Mizbeach and the northern wall of the Azara. Only there. Rav Shimon adds another location as well. Not only is it kosher and the Tzafan Mizbeach, but it's also kosher Beinu Ulam LaMizbeach. Because although it's not actually Yerach Mizbeach, A, it is somewhat related to the back of the Mizbeach, and B, it's Lifnei Hashem, which sort of compensates. And therefore it's Mutar, according to Rebbe. In addition to those locations, we add a third location as well. Makam Drisas Kayhanim, Makam Drisas Ragli Yisrael, which basically means anywhere on the Tzafan side of the Azor. The reason why now Mishnah, we place the park so close to the Hechel, Mishnah Mechol Shor the Kohen Gadol. Continues the Gemara. Roisha Ladarim, a part of Lamarav. Mishnah tells us that the pyre was between Ulam and Mizbeach, and it was positioned Tzafan to Darim. So let's say I'm entering the Azara, I have the Mizbeach, and then I go past the Mizbeach to the Ulam. The animal was lengthwise Tzafan to Darim, its back to Darim, its head towards Tzafan, but the Mishnah says you actually twist the head over to Marav to face the Heichel. Farshim bring the Pasuk, B'shachat l'fnei Hashem, the Makam HaShechita has to be facing the Heichel, l'fnei Hashem. Roishel l'darim, although its head was facing Darim, but Upanav l'marav, its actual face, was facing Marav. Heichel Mishkachasla, how do you work that out? Amarav b'oikim es Roishel, they would twist its head towards Marav. V'nuk mei lehedya. If you're trying to have its face towards Marav, why don't you just position it that way? It's back towards Mizrach, it's face towards Marav. Why do you have to do it between Tzafan and Darim and then twist him to Marav? Amar Abaye gzeiro shamayarbitz glolam. We're concerned that he might emit waste, which is a bizoyin for the Mizbeach, and therefore we don't want his back towards the Mizbeach, rather his back will be towards the wall of the Azara, Tzafan wall, and then we'll have to twist his head over towards Marav, Lifnei Hashem. Tanu Rabba. Keitzad Seimich. What is the general procedure? When one brings a carbon, whether a chatas, a sha'asham, an oila, and he'd like to do smicha, which is a mitzvah, the owner would lean b'chol koichai on that animal, and while he's doing so, he would say the vidui. Keitzad Seimich. Hazevach oimed b'tzafon upanav l'marav. So if we're speaking about kachi kachim, whose shechita needs to take place b'tzafon, so the zevach was positioned b'tzafon. Upon the marav, once again, we position its face towards marav. V'asoymech, and the owner who's doing the smicha, oymed b'mizrach. Upon the marav. So his back is towards mizrach, and his face is toward marav. Alongside his animal, umaniach shtei yodav, bein shtei karnei shel zevach, and he places both hands between the horns of the zevach. Ubavad, of course, there can't be any chatzitza between his hands and the zevach. It needs to be direct contact. Umisvad, and he expresses a vidui. He confesses al chatos, avin chatos. If it's a chatos that he's bringing, he'll express vidui on the avera for which he's bringing the chatos. Val asham, if it's an asham, avin asham, he'll express the avera on which he needs to bring the asham. Val oil. What does he do with the oil? Because the oil is also mechaper, somewhat. It's mechaper on a mitzvah sasei that he missed, or a lav which was nitak lasei. What's a classic example of a lav nitak lasei? Noisar. Not meant to leave over basar of kachem past his man. If one should do so, there's a way to rectify that. Burn the basar. So it's a lav which is related, associated with an asei. So it mitigates the effect and the severity of the lav, and an oila can address it. So on an oila, he would say vidui on various things. For instance, avin leket shekhopeya. He neglected to leave the leket over, the stalk that he dropped while he was harvesting, the shikha, the bundle he left behind, upeya. And he didn't leave over the corner of his field. So these three things are matnei saniyim. Leket belongs to the ani, shikha belongs to the ani, peh belongs to the ani. He didn't give it. He's over a mitzvah saseh. And actually, the Gemara is going to say it's not really a mitzvah say, but it's more than that. There's an assay, but also a lot. We're going to see in a minute. In any case, that's the video here. Umaser oni, for instance, if you forgot to give maser oni, so he does a video on that. Rashi actually deletes maser oni because he says during the video maseres twice in 7 years, they would also include a video maser oni. So that was already addressed. Tosis disagrees. He says, yeah, over there it's with other things. It's not an independent video maser oni. And also, that video, which is said Pesach time in the third and the seventh year of Shemitah, that's to confirm that he did it properly. He's telling Hashem that he did it properly, but here we're speaking that he neglected to do it properly, and he was Oyver and Isser, and that's why he has to express the vidui on the Maser Oni, which he failed to give. Divrei Rav Yosef Levi. So according to the Shita, an Oyla can address the Avoin of Leket Shikha Opeya. Rabbi Kiva Omer, no. Ein oila ba el al hasay. It can only address a mitzvah hasay, which was ignored. Va'al lois hasay shenetik hasay, or a lois hasay which is associated with an essay, like the noiser example we mentioned. Now, before we get further into this machlekes, let's just take a look at Rashi. Two lines from the bottom. Rakiva mein oila ba. An oila can only address an essay or a lava nitik hasay. Tama mafarish b'tei sefta. The Tosefta will explain why is it that an oila will address these things. Alma oila ba, what's the point of an oila? The pasuk says v'nirat zloila chapar oila, which indicates that even an oila has kapar capacity. Im al krisus umisus bezdin, is it coming to address a severe avera? Hari anshin amar, the Torah tells us what the einish is. An oila can't address that. Im al loisase, are we speaking about an ordinary loisase? Again, hari anshin amar, we have an einish for that. Malchus ha ein oila ba. Apparently, what's the point of the oila? It's coming to address el al asay. Tosis brings an example. He missed a sukkah, he missed tefillin. Va'al lois asay shenitik lasay. Or lois asay, which is an associated with an asay, shein loikin olav, which doesn't generate malchus. So we have two examples of averus, which don't really have an appropriate einish. We don't have anything in the Torah to address them. And the oila will come, take care of that. So once again, what are examples of deficiencies which the oila will address? According to Rabbi Yosi Aglili, leket shikha opeya, according to Rabbi Kiva, no. He seems to disagree with that. But my kamifli, what's the point of contention here? Amar Rabbi Yirmiyahu, I'll explain. Belav de nevela kamifliki. Machlokes says how to treat the lav warning against eating a nevela. Pasuk says, don't eat a nevela. Rather, give it to the ger. Give it to the cell, to the guy. Give it away to others. Don't eat it yourself. Rakiva Savar, Lav Ma'al Yehu, is considered a standard, typical lav. And the Oila can't address that. Rabbi Yisak Lili Savar, Lav. It's not Lav Ma'al Yehu. It's not considered an ordinary lav. Rather, it's considered like a Lav Anitik Lasei, and therefore an Oila can take care of it. And likewise, when it comes to Lekha Shikha Peya, well, we have a lav. V'leket k'tzircha le'salakit. Torah is warning against taking things which are meant for the aniyim. But then the Torah says, you know what? Leave it. Leave it over for the aniyim. So we have a lav and an asay. The question is, do we treat it like an ordinary lav? In which case, an oila cannot take care of that. Or do we treat it like a lav anitik lasay, which an oila can address? Now, for further clarification, let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi up on top of the amud. V'lav the nevel kamifliki. Let's take it slow. Let's begin with lav de nevela. It says Rashi dechsiv asay achrov. See, it's different than your typical lav, which only has an iser. Here, by nevela, we have both aspects. Don't eat the nevela, but then the Torah follows with a mitzvah asay. Give it over to the ger, to the nachri. Dechsiv asay achrov la ger asha b'sharecha titznana v'achala. Umiyu, says Rashi, but nevertheless, even though the lav is followed with an asay, Al korach ein ze nitek lasei. This isn't your typical lav hanitek lasei, which generally means that there's a way to remedy the lav. There's a way to retract, to reverse the lav, so to speak, to fix it up. Don't leave the basar past the time. If you do, burn it. That's a way to fix the iser. But here, you can't say that. Once you've eaten the nevela, you can't give it to the ger. It's too late. So here it's a little different than your typical lav hanitik lasei. There's no way to fix up the lav. So although the Torah follows the lav tanasei, it's not to say that there's a way to fix up the lav. Val kochach asei meikar mashma. It must be that the essay here is really meant to leapfrog over to the other side of the lois yasei, and is really saying as follows. Don't eat the nevela. Ella leger titznena v'lo yisechlu. Don't eat the nevela. Rather, give it to the ger and don't eat it. So although when it comes to the seder apsukim, as far as the sequence of the actual pasuk, it's a lav and then followed by an essay. Don't eat it. Give it to the ger. But in practicality, in our practical world, it won't work. It must be reversed. Give it to the ger rather than eat it. That's the shot. Is this considered like a lavanitic lase or not? Do we follow the wording of the pasuk? The fact that the lav is followed with an essay? And that sort of sets it apart from your typical lav, which is never associated with an essay? Or do we say the fact that the Torah precedes the fact that the essay can only be fulfilled before the lav? This doesn't constitute a lav and a teklase. So that's the machlekes. Rekiva savar lav ma'al yu. This is a proper lav. You get malchus. Why? Because in this case, the essay can never fix up the iser that was already done. It's not like the noisa that you can burn after having left beyond his mind. It's not like the geneva that you can return after stealing it. You can't fix up. Once you've eaten the nevel, you can't give it to the guy any longer. Consider a proper lav, and you get malchus. And the oil cannot address this. Likewise, when it comes to leket shikra v'peya, v'lav the leket shikra v'peya nami, asay de basrei mikor mashma. There's what we have a lav. Don't take the leket. Don't take the shikra. Don't take the peya. We're warning the farmer. Leave it alone. Don't take it. That's a lav. And the pasuk follows by saying, you know what? Leave it over for the anim to take. So although when it comes to the actual configuration of the pasuk, it's a lav and then an essay, which seems to be along the lines of a lav and a tikla essay, but in practicality it doesn't work. Because once you've taken the leket for yourself, you can no longer give it back to the aniyim. The point of the pasuk is, leave over the portion of the crop which belongs to the aniyim, leave it for them. That's their part of the sada, it's not yours. And once you're zeich in it, we don't want your donations, we don't want your tzedakah. That's what the Gemara holds at this point. More later we'll change this. But at this point we hold that once you've picked it up, it's too late. So in effect, there's no way to remedy that. There's no way to fix that up, to correct that. So despite the fact that we have an essay which follows the law, don't take it, but leave it over, you must say here as well, just like by Nevela, that the essay, which is stated after the law, is meant to precede the law. Let it go. Leave it over for the anim, and don't take it for yourself. This is not a law in a teklase. Says Rashi, "V'lav leket shikra v'peya nami asay de basrei." Even though we have an asay following the lav, mikara mashma. It's referring to the time zone prior to the iser. V'achka makro. The pasuk means as follows: "V'leket k'tzirch leis alaket ella l'onit hazvenu v'lois alaktem." Don't take it. Leave it over for the yoni and don't pick it. So although it's stated after the lav, it's really meant to be positioned before the lav. Do it properly. Leave it alone. And don't take it. V'lokiyula. That's why it gets malchus. Ve'in oyla ba'olav. And as a result, since it's a standard lav with malchus, oyla can't take care of that. That's Rekiva's approach. So once again, according to Rekiva, we have two examples. Nevela, like a shikha apeya, where we find a lav which is followed by an essay, but that essay cannot be in the sky after the lav. The only time to fulfill that essay is before being over on the lav. Do it right, and don't be over the lav. Give it to the ger, don't eat the nevela. Give it to the oni, don't take it for yourself. That's not a lav anitik lase. And this is malchus. And oila can't take care of that. As opposed to Rabbi Yisrael Glilisa, where he holds. True. In this case, he can't fix up the iser. Once he's eaten the nevela, he can no longer give it to the ger. It's true. The law which follows the Isser of Achilas Nevela must be cut and pasted and put before the Isser. Give it to the Ger and don't eat it. But if you look at the Pasuk, how does the Pasuk configure it? Since it's stated after the law, it's no one considered a standard law. Ain loikin a love. There's no malchus. The loy dumbi, the love the chasima. You see, love the chasima is cited in Shas many times as the benchmark, as the gold standard of a love which generates malchus. That's where the Torah speaks about malchus. Don't muzzle the animal while you're threshing with it. And if one should do that, it gets malchus. We learn from there. That's the benchmark. Anything that gets malchus has to be similar to love the chasima. And if it's a lav hanitiklase, for instance, it's not like lav lechasima, which is not litiklase. Likewise, over here, it says a reisak lili. True, this isn't your typical lav hanitiklase. Because again, once you've eaten the nevela, there's no way to fix that. Once you've taken the leket, there's no way to fix that. Nevertheless, since we find an assay in this pasuk, we have a lav followed by an assay, it's no longer similar and no longer to be equated with lav lechasima. And therefore, there's no malchus. See, according to Yisrael Lili, it's as though the pasuk is saying, I want to reinforce the essay. Don't eat the nevel, give it to the ger. Don't take the leket. I want you to give it to the ani. So the isser isn't just a plain isser. Don't do something wrong. Rather, do it properly. Do it correctly. Give it to the ani and don't take it. Give it to the ger and don't eat the nevela. So this love isn't just a standalone love, a pure love. It's associated somewhat with an essay. It's not just a negative element. Don't do that, something wrong. Rather, do something right. And I want to reinforce that by saying, don't do it wrongly. So there is some sort of correlation between the love and the essay. Although, again, it's not your typical love anitik essay, because you can't correct the love once it was committed. Once you've eaten the nevel, there's no way to fix that. Still, Kotya Risiaglili, this love is of a different nature than your typical love, love de chasima, which provides the standard for malchus. Because here we have an assay associated with the love, and that sort of mitigates the effect, the severity of the love. It puts on it it adds a positive twist to it. And therefore, according to him, there's no malchus. And likewise, uba'a olav oila. And oila can address that. So that's regarding Levela. And Rashi adds, "V'lav the leket v'shicha pe'anami." There as well, "Afilu amrina da asay de basrei mekara mashma loy lo killer." Same thing applies to leket shicha pe'a. Although you can't really fix it once you've transgressed, once you've taken it for yourself, you can no longer give it to the anim. And the essay, "Leave to the anim," is apparently referring to the time before, the time frame prior to taking it for yourself. So it's not really a lav nitik lasei, but again, since it's associated with an asei, has that positive element to it, that positive twist, and there's no malchus, and an oila can take care of it. So this was Rabbi Yirmiyah's presentation of the two shittos, that kodesh beisak lili, whether it's leket shikro peya, whether it's nevela, that's not your typical lav, and therefore there's no malchus, and an oila can be mechaper on that as well. Continues the Gemara on the third line from the top. Abai Omar, I disagree. Nah, nothing doing. If you can't correct the lav by applying the essay afterwards, that's not called lav anitik lasei. Therefore, he says, for instance, by nevela, everybody is masking, everybody agrees. That's a simple lav which generates malchus, and an oila cannot take care of that. Because once he's eaten that nevela, there's no longer anything that can be done. That's not called a lav anitik lasei. Abai Yomer, the kuli amu lav de nevela, lav ma'al yahavi. Everybody agrees by nevela, it's a proper lav. The question is simply by leket shichel peyu. Why? V'acha, betazev kemivliki. The pasuk says, the farmer should not take the leket for himself. The peyu, the shikha. Tazev, let go, leave it for the ani. The question is, which point in time is Tazer referring to? Is it referring to the time frame prior to the owner wrongly taking the leket for himself? Or is it also referring to the current time frame, to the current moment after he already took the leket? Torah says, no, you still have a way out. Put it back on the field. That's the shot. If it's referring to the moment after taking, it's referring to now, then we have a lavanet klasei on our hands. Even though he took it, he can fix it up by putting it back in the field. That's one sheet. That's a reset. Rekiva holds, no. Tazayv is referring back to the original moment in time, before he took it. Leave it there. Leave it free for the aniyim, and don't take it. But once he took it, it's too late. In which case, it's not a lavanet klasei, and there's malchus, and the oiler can't take care of it. The question is how to define the word tazav. Let go. What does that mean, let go? Let go and don't take it? Or even if you've already taken it, let go of it. And you can fix up the issue. The Rabbi Akiva Savar tazav mi karamash. Tazav is referring to the original point in time, before he took it. Once he took it, it's too late. And therefore, it's a standard lav. There's no way to remedy the lav. It's a lav which generates malchus. And Oyla can't take care of it. Rabbi Saglidus Sava Hashtamash. Tazav is telling even now, once he's taken it, he can go ahead and fix that up, correct what he did, by leaving it go for the enemy. So, conclusion, we discussed what is considered a lavanitic lasse. So, you have two examples of non typical lavanitic lasse. And according to Yimir's presentation, Machlokes goes as follows. Rabbi Saglidus holds, whether nevela, whether lekesh chopeya, they're considered lavanet klasei, because although you can't really correct the lav, once you've transgressed, you can't give out the nevela once you've eaten it. Nevertheless, the lav is somewhat associated with a nasei. Do it right and don't do wrong, which is different than the typical lav, in which case there's no malchus here, and an oil can take care of it. Rekiva says, no way. In both cases, I don't consider that a lavanet klasei, and there's malchus. Abaye held, when it comes to nevela, all agree. That's not a lavanet klasei. There's nothing that can be done after he ate the nevela. The machlokes pertains only to leket shekopeya. What do you say? Lili, taza means even now. Even once you've taken it, let go of it, and give it back to the aniyim. With Rekiva, it's too late. Once he's taken it for himself, he can't just give it back. It's already his. And therefore, it's not considered a lavanet klasei, and malchus is generated by this love. Continues the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanan, Ketzad Misvad. Mishnah tells that the Kohen Gadol approaches the par and expresses a vide. What is the nusach of the vide? We have two shittas. According to Rabbi Meir, you start on the top with the most severe averus. Obviously, which is referring to mazit, pashati, referring to rebellious acts. Acts out of spite, anger, chas v'shalom, towards Hashem. So, avisi is out of desire. Pashati is bemerit, out of spite. V'chatasi is inadvertent avirus, b'shoigik. He starts sort of on top and goes down to the bottom. V'chein b'sorah m'shtalech o'emer, as we find by the vidu of the sorah m'shtalech, v'svad olav, es kol avoynes b'nei Yisrael, so it begins with mezid, v'es kol pish'eyim, l'chol chatosam. The last item on the list is a shaygig. So we see, you start on top, and you work your way down. V'chei b'moishu oimer. We find b'moishu Rabbeinu himself. Noise avoin, v'pesha v'chata. Divirme. So Rabbeinu brings two rights, that the proper way of expressing vidui is by first expressing the more severe averus, and then going over to the more lenient averus. Menachomer lakal. The Siach Yitzchak explains that Rameya holds, the vidui is meant to generate tshuva, a feeling of remorse within the person. It's much easier to locate the more obvious averus, the more weighty averus, which are more obvious to the person. And once he begins with that, it sets the ball rolling, and puts him in that mindset, that mind frame of doing tshuva, and it generates more tshuva, and he starts uncovering different averus, smaller averus, shoygeik, etc. So that's the way to do it, says Rameir. First you start with the more obvious averus, And once it gets into the mindset, the proper frame of mind, it's going to generate a genuine tshuva for the more lenient averis as well. Chamer, I really say nothing, no way. You don't have to start with the more chamer. You start with the more lenient averis. Look, you're trying to ask mechila from Hashem. Don't go straight to the top. Start with the more lenient ones. And then work your way up. You know, not only this, but even that. Not only that, even that. Chamer, avonis, ilas doines. Oven is referring to the mazit. He gets cursed for doing an oven. Apparently it's a mazit, otherwise curse would not come for that. Pishoim elam erodim is referring to rebellious acts. V'chenu oimer melech moyach pashabi v'oimer astivsha livna beisahi. So we find that pesha is merit. V'chol chataisam elah shkoga is things done by accident. V'chenu oimer nefesh kisechta b'shkoga. So he brings a carbon chatos for doing something b'shkoga. Say the Rabbanon, if that's the case, if that's the correct definition of these terms, how do you propose that he starts on top? Once he's done vidui on the more severe averis, doesn't make sense to then drop down to the shkogos. Look, as Rashi explains, if they're going to be meichelim on the more severe averis, then what's the point of mentioning the lighter averis? It's redundant. Rather, say the Rabbanon, start from the bottom and work your way up. Elokacha misvada, chatosi, bavisi, upashati lefanecha, anibes. I did chet, which is shogig. Then he goes up to avoin, which is mezid, and all the way up to pshia, which is merit. So you start from the bottom and work your way up. I want to ask mechila for this, not only for this, even for that. Even for that. So according to Rabbanon, it's more like a tefillah. I'm asking Hashem to be meichel me. In which case it makes sense to start with the lighter things and then work your way up the ladder. V'chein b'David o'aymer, like you find by David, chatonu avisenu, so it begins with chet, he moves up to hevinu v'hershanu, v'chein b'shloim o'aymer, chatonu v'hershanu radnu, v'chein Daniel o'aymer. So do you find by Daniel? But Daniel o'aymer chatonu v'hevinu v'hershanu murad. So going to Rabbanon, you begin at the bottom and work your way up. If that's the case, we have a kasha. Rabbi Meir brought a riot from Moshe Rabbeinu, who said, "Noisei avon v'fesha v'chato." Elomau shomar Moshe, "Noisei avon v'fesha v'chato." Why did Moshe begin from the top and then come back down? Omar Moshe of Nekadosh Baruch. He wasn't saying vidui. He was just davening to Hashem as follows: "Ribbono shel olam, b'sha'a sheYisrael choytin lefanecha." Voice in tshuva. When he strolled to chet and do tshuva, please Hashem, this is a tefillah. Asei lahem zdoinois kishkogos. I want to ask you to please treat the zodim, the mezidim, just as you treat the shkogos, just as you meichel for things done by accident. Be meichel for things done on purpose as well. You know, we say by Yom Kippur, v'nislachal das mei Yisrael kilchal am bishkoga. It's a limit zchus on a yid. He really wants to do the right thing. The yitzhar pulls him all directions. It's really a shoygeg. It wasn't done with the real kavana, real purpose. That was the point of the tefillah. It wasn't an expression of vidu. It was just, treat these doinis like you treat the shkogos. But in reality, when it comes to the proper expression, the sequence of vidu, it's meant to go from the kal el hakoid, from chet to oven to pesha. Amar Rabba bar Shmuel Marav. Halacha? Kedibri Chachamim. The halacha follows the Chachamim. You begin with Chet, with Shogeg, you work your way up to Mezid, and over to Pesha. Pshita, of course. Yochad Rab. Whenever we have a dispute between an individual and a multitude, halacha Rab, we follow the Rab, we follow the Rabban. Isn't that obvious? Ma'od Tema, but perhaps there's room to think. Mistaber Tamed Rameh. Rameh's approach seems to be more plausible. The Kamasai Lekra of a Pasuk, which was the Pasuk by the Sora Mishtaleach. Right, he had two rites. He had the rite from Moshe Rabbeinu, which we addressed. We had the other pasuk by Sora Mishtaleach, which said, "Visvada olav eskol avoynes bnei Yisrael eskol pishayim chol chatoisam," which seems to be referring to the vidui process. And how does the pasuk present the sequence? First on top, first the oven, then all the way down to chet. So if that's a riot to Rav Meir, then perhaps we should follow that shita. Kamash Malon. No. Rabbi Rashmol tells us, actually, follow the Rabbanon. Their shita prevails. And in fact, that's how we do today. We start from Chet, proceed to Avoin, and over to Pesha. Says there was a story with Ahu, this fellow, this Shteach Tzibur, the Nochis Kameh de Rabbah. So he was davening with Tzibur in front of Rabbah, and this was after the Churban, so they would go through the Seder Avoidas Yom Kippurim, as Rashi says, the Pasuk says, Unesham Aparim Svasenu, as we do today, we express the whole Seder Avoidah, which is instead of bringing the actual carbon. And in what order did he express the Vidui? He followed Rameya's sequence. He went starting from the top down to the bottom. Amalei, so Rabbi asked him, Shavkas Rabbanon, you've abandoned the Rabbanon, Vavis Karmeir, you followed Rameya? Why did you do that? Amalei Karmeir, really. I hold like Rameya. Kitechsiv, Besefer, Oiraisa de Moshe. Just as it's stated in the Torah, Sefer Oiraisa de Moshe. We have a pasuk which says that it's meant to be first the more severe verse, and then over to the more calm. That's why I follow that sheet. So in conclusion, has the Kohen Gadol do vidui on the par? Going to our mayor? You begin with the mezidin first. So that's the oven pesha category. And then to the chet. And it appears that when it comes to the mezid category, oven and pesha, he'll say first oven and then pesha. So it's really a kasher. If you begin on top, Pesha is more severe than Oven. That's rebellion. That's in spite. That's Lahachas. But it seems like he puts it into two categories. First, the Mezid category, in which Oven precedes Pesha. The Mashal says Oven is more common than Pesha. It's more common that a person should be drawn after his desires, that they actually, Chas v'Shalom, do things in spite. So when it comes to the Mezid category, he goes out and he puts Oven before Pesha. But at the end of the day, he put the Mezid category before the Shoigig. Oven and Pesha precede Chet. Whereas according to Chachamim, it's meant to be the other way around. You begin with the light of Eris. Ask Hashem to forgive us for that. And then you work your way up. Chet to Avoin to Pesha. Continues the Gemara Tana Rabbon. The keeper ba'adoi bad beis, which the Mishnah applied to the Vidui. Has the Kohen Mechaper. He expresses Vidui and generates Kapara. The Kapara is Dvarim HaKasim Medabra. The Torah is referring to Kapara through expression of words, through vidui. Ata oimer, the kapara's dvarim. You maintain through words. Oyein al yelo, kapara's dhamim. Perhaps, there's no vidui here. The keeper, ba'adabad basit, means he'll bring kapara through doing zarek, zrika, hazan, adam. That's the case. How do you even know vidui? By the parashat Kohen Gadol. Answers the Gemara. Harei ani dam. We apply xer shava. Nemro kan kapara. Here we have a term kapara, v'chiper, v'nemer la'halon kapara. And over there, by the sarah mishtalech, the sarah which is sent down to the midbar, we have a term kapara as well. L'chaper olav, l'shalach, oisel azazel. Ma kapara, hamura b'sar, dvarim. Just as the kapara reference over there is certainly in reference to dvarim. Why? He wasn't brought in the, as a carbon in the Beis Hamikdash. There was no matan damim there. He was simply thrown off the mountain. So the chapra over there evidently is referring to expression of words, vidu. Af, kapara, hamur bapar dvarim. Likewise over here, by the par, the chiper is a reference to vidu dvarim, which generates kapara. Of course, this is in addition to the kapara sadam. But we learn from here that there's a kapara dvarim as well. Now, if you have something to challenge this zereshava, this connection, I'll come up with another raya, that the chiper is referring to kapara dvarim. Harayu Aymer, we find further down the parasha, in reference to the par of the Kohen Gadol, a pasuk which says, "V'hikir v'aharon es par achatas ashaloi, v'chiper ba'adai u'bad beisoi," and then the pasuk concludes with the words, "V'shachat es par achatas ashaloi." So v'chiper ba'adai is before the shechita, v'adayin lo nishchita par. There's no shechita done yet. Apparently, v'chiper is not referring to the dam, rather kaparas dvarim vidu. Okay, so we have a clear raya that the Kohen Gadol would express vidui on his part. Ma'ivim nafshech loymar. What do you mean you had something to challenge my gzeira shava? Initially, I connected par to sar mishtalech, but then we said, well, maybe you have something to challenge that connection, and therefore we came up with another right. What was that possible argument? Perhaps I'll say, you're looking to connect? Let's connect to something else. Neilef misor hanasa b'fnim. Let's connect the parakain gadol to the sor hanasa b'fnim. There were two seirim in Yom Kippur. One was la'azazel. One was chatas l'Hashem, brought in the Beis HaMikdash as a carbon. Let's connect it to that sor. Shekaparasa b'damim, whose kapara is generated through dam. We don't find vidui by that sor. And the kapara there was brought about through the hazaras hadam. Perhaps here as well, by the kain gadol's par, the Chippur is referring to Kapara's Damim, and not Kapara's Devarim, not Vidu. Harayu Oimer. That's how we come back. That's why we come back with the next Raya. The Chippur, we have a pasuk which says, the Chippur ba'ad ba'ad beisei, v'shachat. Ba'adayin lo nishchat apar. The Chippur here is referring to the time, the point in time prior to Shchita. We don't have Dam yet. And apparently, it's not Kapara's Adam that was speaking about, but rather, Kapara's Devarim. Continues the Gemara. Umenai Shibana. We learned in the Mishnah, a Kohen would address the Hashem and start his video with the words Ana, Ana Hashem. How do we know Ana is meant to be applied? Ne'amar kan kapara. We have the reference to kapara here. V'ne'amar la'al b'chayrev kapara. By chayrev, by Har Sinai, after the Masa Eagle, we have the term kapara mentioned. Moshe Rabbeinu davened to Hashem, ulay achapro bat chataschem. We draw a parallel. Malahalon b'ana, just as over there. We have the word ana employed. Please Hashem. Afkan b'ana. Here as well by the video apart, ana is applied. Umenayin shebeshem. Mishnah says that the nusach was ana Hashem. He's referring to Hashem, the Shem Amah first. How do we know that's meant to be applied here? Once again, we connect par to something else. Nemar kan kapar. We have a Lashon kapar over here. V'chipa ba'adai. V'nemar be'elgal rufa kapar. But Egal Rufa, which is brought on account of finding somebody killed on the road, so that Egal Rufa was brought, and we have the Lashon Kapara there, Kapar la'amcha Yisrael Shepadisa. We connect the two things. Ma'ala halam b'shem, just as over there, we have Haskaras Hashem. Okay, Hanan would say, Kapar la'amcha Yisrael Ashapadisa Hashem. So we invoke the name Hashem. The Marsha says, Shem Hashem, Yitke Vavke is denotes Rachmim, and that's what the Kohen is trying to tap into, to generate Rachmanis and Chesed on Yisrael, to give them Kaparo. Just as we find Hashem mentioned by Glarufa, Afkan B'Shem, likewise by the Kaparo, Chibar Ba'adoi of the Par Kohen Gadol, we invoke Hashem's name. Om Rabbi, Bishloi Mechoyrev Me'eglarufa Loyolov. Now by Choyrev, B'Mesh Rabbeinu's Tefillah to Hashem after the Eagle, we don't find the Haskoras Hashem. So we understand, that's Pashat. We can't learn Choyrev from Egla Rufa. We can't learn one from the other. Bishlam Choyrev Egla Rufa lo yalef. Why? My Dava Hava. Because past is past. It's over. Egla Rufa took place. The tefillah on the eagle took place before the halach of Egla Rufa. So we can't learn one from the other. Ela Egla Rufa telef mechoyrev. But why can't Egla Rufa learn from Choyrev? In both cases, we have the Lashon Kapara. Just as by Choyrev, Moshe Rabbeinu used the word Ana, perhaps Egla Rufa will also require that term. Perhaps you'll say, you're right, that the Kehanim would mention the word Ana, but now we learned in the Mishnah, they wouldn't say it. HaKehanim Oimrim. By Egla Rufa, the Kehanim simply said, Kaper L'Amcha Yisrael, be Mechaper for your nation. We don't find Ana, V'ilu Ba'ana, like a Amr. We don't find them mentioning Ana. Why not? Kasha, we'll leave it as a Kasha. So in summary, the Pasuk says, V'chiper ba'ade ba'ad beisai. What does V'chiper mean? Is the Kohen Gadol going to do Kaparas Dvarim through Vidoi? Or is it simply referring to the Dam placed on the Mizbeach? By Sar Meshtalech, we have a term Kapara, which is referring to Vidoi Dvarim. By Sar Nasa Befnim, Kapara is referring to Vidoi Dam. Which way should we go? Well, we have a Pasuk, V'chiper ba'ade ba'ad beisai, and then V'shachat. Apparently the V'chiper is before the Shechita. Can't be speaking about Dam, which is not yet here. They're referring to the Kaparas Dvarim through Vidu. So a quick chazar of today's daf. We learned in the Mishnah that the Par Kohen Gadol was situated between Ulam and Mizbeach, although technically, according to some Shitas, you could have placed it further out in the Azar, away from the Heichal. We wanted it close to the Heichal to make for an easy trip for the Kohen Gadol, Mishum Chosh to the Kohen Gadol, because he had to take the Dam afterwards. This way we shortened the distance to conserve his energy. We learned that the pyre was standing between Tzafan and Dharm, facing Dharm, but its face, its head, was twisted towards Myra. The Kohen Gadol would stand there and do vidui. We learned that vidui has to be done without chatzitza, needs to be direct contact with the carbon, and oil is mechaper on an asei, and also on a lav hanitik lasei. Whether nevela or leket shikhel peya considered lav hanitik lasei, we had a discussion. What is the proper sequence of vidui? According to Rav Meir, start on top. You speak about the more obvious averus, and then that generates feelings of truth in the person, and he finds undiscovered averus as well. It's more the tefillah aspect that we're focusing on. Start from the easier things, and then work your way up. And Rachib Badbad Beisai, by the Parkein Gadol, is referred to Vidoy Dvar. Haslacha Rabbah to you on Kol Tov.